We'll get back on track this Saturday. The Colts looking to keep their playoff hopes alive against the rookie Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. NFL Week 15, lots of good games with playoff implications. Oh, I said that wrong, but how do you say it? Say it again.
Implications?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Language. That's something you need to have radio. But NFL Week 15, NFL news, lots of stuff going on. Something happened down in Jacksonville. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then we'll take a break and come back with Zion Brown joining the show at 1:40, talking IU basketball, currently an IU media student over there at Bloomington. So IU Brown, not IU Brown, Zion Brown will join the show at 1:40, so make sure to stay tuned to that. And then after that, we'll talk Pacers versus Bucks. The Pacers go on a four-game winning streak and then lose two straight, and their owner had some comments to come out yesterday that were a little bit odd, to say the least, from a team that is 13th in the Eastern Conference. And now it's been reported that DeMontis Sabonis possibly wanting traded, possibly wanting out of Indiana, so that's going to be something to talk about as well. Is that true? I don't know about that one. But we will see, and then more sports and news. So we have a good show coming your way. Once again, I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleaver. Let's get right into it. Colts-Patriots, a Saturday night game. I mean, that doesn't really happen too much. A flex game, prime time for the fourth time this year for the Indianapolis Colts, a 7-6 Colts team taking on the 9-4 New England Patriots. If you watched Hard Knocks last night, the Colts, Frank Reich talking to his team, why not us? Why can't we be the best team in the AFC? Why can't we go to the Super Bowl? I don't know. You're going to have to beat some tough teams. But it all starts this Saturday. If you can beat the New England Patriots, a 9-14, number one in the AFC, I mean, the Colts Super Bowl chances are going to bump up. Because, I mean, the Patriots, number one seed, do I think they're the best team in the AFC? No. Do I think the team to beat is the Patriots in the AFC? No. But I think they're one of them. I think the team to beat right now still has to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's going to go through Kansas City. Even though they did struggle at the start of the year, they are hot. Are they the hottest team in the AFC right now? No, I think these two teams are. I think the Colts and the Patriots are hotter than the Chiefs. But we will have to see. The Colts, number one offense in the past 2 months, having Jonathan Taylor, player of the month, for the last two as well. And then you got the New England Patriots, the team that beat the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football in their last outing. They had a bye last week, same as the Indianapolis Colts. New England, 9-4. They started the season with a bad record as well. I think they started 1-3. Now look at them, 9-4. I mean, this Patriots team, they're good. They have a great defense. And they're going to have it's going to be definitely a good game. I mean, Jonathan Taylor taking on the Patriots defense, that is going to be something to watch out for. And always remember, the New England Patriots love to take away your best option. Like T.Y. Hilton was quoted saying this, if you're right-handed, you better learn how to shoot left. If you're left-handed, you better know how to shoot right. That was a 10-2. The Patriots taking away your best ability. This game is going to be a dogfight at Lucas Oil Stadium. Prime time, 8:20 this Saturday. And really, I mean, as I welcome in Kevin Gleaver here to the show. Kevin, this is going to be probably the biggest game for the Colts this season. And I mean, this is going to feel like an AFC Championship game. How crazy it's going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium this Saturday.
Oh, I mean, well, not only, like you said, it's going to be like a playoff game. I mean, also, like you mentioned earlier, it's just the Patriots. And, you know, I don't think I know any Colts fans that like the Patriots. So it will be a great atmosphere. I'm sure the players are excited to play against them in their hometown in front of their crowd. But, I mean, it's just such a huge game overall. I mean, a win for the Colts does big things for them in the playoff status and then knocks the Patriots down one win. But I'm pretty sure at this point they're basically locked up. And just looking at the Colts' schedule, this would be a big win just because they have another talented team they have to play in the Cardinals, which, I mean, they're kind of getting hit with some injuries, but, I mean, they still have talent nonetheless. So a win against the Patriots would be huge. And, I mean, kind of looking at the game plan, you know, thinking what the Colts might do, and with the Patriots just wanting to take away your best option, of course, they're just going to try and take away the Colts' run game. And then so we could see Carson Wentz just be throwing the ball a lot. And last time that happened, kind of against, like, the Buccaneers, fans were not happy. But I don't think it was a bad thing. I think it's just what the looks, the best look on the field was throwing the ball. So, I mean, we could see another not like night like that for Wentz. And as long as he's kind of dialed in and feeling like he can read the defense and make the right play to the right receiver, I mean, it could be the offense could get rolling for the Colts, I think.
I think the offense will get rolling for the Colts. Even in their loss versus Tampa Bay, they still put points on the board. The Colts right now, even at the start of the year, I mean, their offense was terrible, I'll be completely honest. Their offense is top five in the league right now. Top five, I would have to say. And one thing that they did get away, I mean, obviously, they should have passed in those nine-person boxes versus the Buccaneers. But I do not care. Nine people in the box, you're still going to run the ball with Jonathan Taylor. Give him a pitch. Throw it out to the numbers. Make him make a play because he's going to. Jonathan Taylor, top three in league MVP for a reason. Offensive player of the year. Jonathan Taylor has to be a factor in this game if the Colts want to have any chance to improve to 8-6 this Saturday. And, I mean, the defense is going to have to step up. I mean, make Mac Jones beat you. Do not let the Patriots run the ball 40 times. The Colts need to have as many people in the box as New England's going to have to stop Taylor, except New England does not have a Jonathan Taylor-like back in the backfield. They have a running back by committee. What they need to do is put snow on the field to stop Mac. But what they're going to have to do is make Mac Jones beat you. You want Mac Jones to make him make a decision. He's a rookie, and he's I don't know if he's ready to have to do that. I don't know if Mac Jones is the type of player in his rookie season that can single-handedly beat you.
You know, I think, like you're saying, I mean, we've seen the Patriots, like when they played the Bills in that one game where the weather was just insane, like you couldn't kick the ball, and they threw the ball three times the entire game and still won. And, of course, the other team wasn't able to throw it that well or anything like that either, so it was mainly a dominant running game. But we've seen the Patriots be able to win games just by the run, but we've also seen Mac Jones kind of open up the playbook and see his arm talent. So, I mean, I think it will be difficult for the Colts, but, I mean, I think their defense can step up to it. Like Jackson was saying, I mean, stacking the box to stop their run game, make them make the decision, put pressure on him and the receivers to make plays. I mean, by putting pressure on Mac Jones, I mean, I think that puts you in a good position for success.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, this is going to be a dogfight. I mean, I'm going to go on a ledge. I do think the Colts win this game. I think they're going to win it bigger than what people think. I'm going to say 38-28. I think the Colts win by 10. And I just think the Colts are going to come out, and they're going to come out firing. They're off a break. Obviously, Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, but I don't think this Patriots team is good as people make them out to be. They've played kind of a pancake schedule besides a couple teams. I mean, their schedule is way easier than ours, at least. So I think the Colts are going to get this win, and I think if the Colts do win this game, the Colts are now maybe possibly going to be favorites in some people's eyes in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could, considering the Patriots are so highly talked about in the AFC as of right now. The Colts getting a win over them, I mean, I think the Colts maybe not be the most popular team right now in terms of can they have success in the playoffs. And I think they're kind of opening eyes of people more and more as the season's gone on, but I still don't think they're the most popular. Of course, people talk about the Patriots. And, of course, they talk about the Chiefs, which I think the Chiefs, you know, like Jackson was talking about them earlier, I mean, they could be the favorite in the AFC just because how their defense is playing. I mean, their offense will always be able to get stuff going, but their problem's always been the defense, and I mean, they have been a huge part on why they've gone on a win streak. So, I mean, the Colts beating the Patriots, that could put them in the conversation of can they beat the Chiefs? Can they win the AFC, take a trip to the Super Bowl, and potentially bring home the Lombardi?
And yeah, I mean, going into the season, I mean, I thought the Colts were a playoff team, but I did not think they had like ability to go to a Super Bowl.
Oh, not at all.
And I mean, if you look at it right now, the Colts can beat any team in the league. They can also lose to anyone in the league as well. That's their problem. But I don't know. This team is they got talent. I don't know if they'll do it this year, but they're going to be mean in the next coming years if Carson Wentz can stay at the level he's at, maybe even improve. But looking around the NFL Week 15, there's lots of good games going on. Tonight, there's a game happening in the AFC West. The Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. And if the Chargers lose, they fall out. The Colts will bump into The fifth seed in the AFC if the Chargers lose, and then obviously if the Chiefs lose, the Chargers could overtake them in their division. So that's something to watch out for there, and then Kansas City would be a wild card spot. Browns versus Raiders, two teams out of the playoffs right now. This is Saturday as well, prior to the Colts game. That's going to be big playoff implications there as two teams trying to fight for the playoffs. I mean, the Browns coming off a win over the Ravens, and the Raiders have lost four out of their last five. I mean, this is going to be a big game for playoffs, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, both teams trying to fight to at least get the last wild card spot. And, you know, the Raiders, they've been fighting through a lot this season, but they've been playing good football overall. And then the Browns, just recently, the last couple of days, they've been coming out saying players that have been put on, like, the COVID reserve list, because I guess they've had some issues with that. So, like, quarterback Baker Mayfield won't be playing. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry, he'll be out. Their head coach will be out. So I think it'll be a struggle for the Browns, but if they were able to pick up a win against another playoff contender in the AFC, it could be big for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big thing for the Brownies. And the Raiders, a team that really started the season hot, and then obviously everything happened with them. They're now 6-7. If they lose that game, they might be a blink away from missing the playoffs. Another game of playoff implications for one team, possibly not the other. Tennessee versus Pittsburgh. I mean, this is going to be a back-and-forth game. Titans 9-4, Steelers 6-6-1. I'll take the Titans in that one. Another playoff possible game. I mean, the Bills trying to make sure they get a wild card spot. The Panthers trying to keep their season alive. If they lose this one, they will be eliminated from the playoffs most likely. Another playoff implication game over there in the NFC. Eagles versus the football team. Both teams fighting for the seventh seed in the NFC. And then a game that no one cares about, the Jaguars versus the Texans. The Jaguars did announce they are firing Urban Meyer finally. I mean, what are your thoughts about Urban Meyer being out in Jacksonville?
I think it was just a matter of time. I think since he's been there, he just hasn't had any good media. I mean, there's been problems with him on and off the field. I mean, just recently, I think maybe what put the owners over the edge and made him decide to fire, he was supposedly mistreating an old kicker, Josh Lambeau, and even like kicking him in a practice, like kicking his leg. So kind of physically going at him. And I mean, you can't really have that as being a head coach because your players really won't buy into you. And I think that's a big thing. I mean, I don't think the players have really been trustful of him. Maybe even his own staff, too. I mean, he had a meeting with his staff, and it was reported that he basically was making them tell him why they deserved to be on his staff. So it's been a mess from the start since hiring him.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been crazy, but hey. Maybe the Jaguars have to go up again. You never know, but this is a game no one will pay attention to. Cowboys versus Giants. That should be a Cowboys win there. Cardinals, Lions. That should be a win for the Cardinals there. Dolphins versus Jets. Dolphins looking to keep their playoff chances alive. They're most likely going to be out of it anyway. And then the Jets are the Jets. Broncos versus Bengals. Two playoff hopefuls, I should say. Both teams now looking on the inside, outside looking in. But the Bengals looking to hop right back into that wild card spot. And the Broncos still are sitting at 7-6, probably the worst 7-6 team I've seen in recent memory. But I guess, how about them Broncos? And that should be a good one. That's at 4:05. And then you got 49ers versus Falcons. And the Niners trying to keep their playoff hopes alive as they currently sit in the sixth seed in the NFC. The Falcons trying to get in the seventh seed as well. So big playoff implications there. And then at 4:25 as well, you have the Rams versus the Seahawks. The Seahawks have won two consecutive games. They're now 5-8, trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. And the Rams just looking to stay afloat in the playoffs. And then you have Packers versus Ravens. The Ravens lose this one. They could really fall out of the playoffs after this weekend. And that was wild, as they were the number one seed just 2 weeks ago. And the Packers now sit at 10-3, looking to claim a top of the NFC. Sunday Night Football, Buccaneers, Saints. Tom Brady has not been able to beat the Saints in New Orleans in the regular season in his career in Tampa Bay, but I think we'll get it done there. Sunday Night Football, the Saints have been struggling of late. And then Monday night is a game that I don't know why two consecutive weeks the Bears are on primetime, but it happened here. Monday night, Bears, Vikings, and the Vikings trying to keep their playoff hopes alive, and then the Bears. Just the Bears. But that's going to round out week 15. But since we're not going to be here with you for week 16, as we are going on Christmas break here at Ben Davis High School, and there will be no student radio for the next 2 weeks here, we are going to talk a little bit about week 16, and then a little bit more. But the big topic right now going on in the NFL, Kevin, is COVID. There's been a COVID outbreak in most of NFL franchises. And, I mean, that's one of the biggest things talking about in the league right now. I mean, Kevin, what's your thoughts about that? Is there anything the NFL should do differently, possibly making fans not come to games like they did last season? Or should they keep the fans in the building and maybe just test the players more often? Or maybe, I mean, what is your opinions on that? And, I mean, how can the NFL try to slow down this outbreak?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, like, we've seen just the Browns recently had – kind of an outbreak on their players, but the NFL said they're not postponing any games. So if teams kind of start struggling and a lot of their main players get out, I mean, they're just going to have to play through it. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of just tough because, like, different states have different requirements and all that stuff. But we've seen even in Canada, like, teams in Toronto, I know, like, hockey and NBA teams, and they're like the Raptors, they are saying 50% fans from now on, which – in the NFL, I mean, the fans really aren't that close to the players unless you're in the front row or the players are coming up to the stands. But I don't know. I mean, I guess as a team, or if you're the owner of a team, I think you would just, especially kind of a team in the playoffs or one right on the edge of the playoffs fighting for a spot, I think you'd really just have to kind of send the message of, I mean, the season's coming down to it. We're getting into the most important part of it. We could have the chance to make a run in the playoffs. I mean, you just got to kind of tighten down and try and limit the possibilities that your team gets in an outbreak like that.
I mean, yeah, it's one of the biggest things. And I don't know, it's just wild. In the NFL, there's over 100 cases. NBA's, I mean, they're cracking down on that as well, 30 cases. So, I mean, it's just, it went from being almost none to now being crazy. And I mean, I don't know, it's just something to watch out for, but that's one of the biggest things going on in the NFL right now. Now going to week 60. Okay, the Indianapolis Colts, Christmas Day, travel out to Arizona. They play their second consecutive Saturday game, so that's something to watch out for. The Colts now are a Saturday team, I guess. But Saturday football, 8:15. Prime time for the second consecutive week for the Indianapolis Colts. Christmas night. And they take on the Arizona Cardinals, probably the second best team in the NFC. The Cardinals did lose to the Rams last week, but they have 10 wins. And, I mean, the Cardinals 10-3 now, one of the best teams in the NFL. And the Colts, I mean, the Colts could possibly be one of the best if they win this Saturday. But it is announced that DeAndre Hopkins will not play in this one as he is out for the remainder of the regular season. So, I mean, that's a big help for the Colts. I mean, Kevin, what are your expectations for the Colts taking on the Cardinals, one of the best offenses in the NFL?
I think we could honestly get a pretty good look at it by how they do against the Patriots, considering it's just kind of two of the top teams in the league. But then going into that week of the Cardinals, I mean, the game plan for the two Patriots and the Cardinals is just different because the quarterbacks and Kyler Murray and Mac Jones are just not the same. You know, Mac Jones not as mobile, and Kyler Murray just runs around and make plays down the field and does stuff you wouldn't think an NFL quarterback can do, but he does it. And of course, a big hit to him, as I mean, probably his best target, in DeAndre Hopkins out for the rest of the regular season. But I think their offense is still so explosive. I've seen them a few times this year, and I mean, they can drive down the field on York, they can just score one play touchdown. So it'll be big on the Colts to try and contain the Cardinals with their offenses. I mean, it's just, they're probably one of the most difficult teams to game plan for and have your defense go up against. And I mean, that could be a big one on the Colts playoff implications, because say the injuries hit the Cardinals and the Colts are able to beat them, even if they lose this week to the Patriots, that's a win against another quality team. And then, of course, they also have, like, the Jaguars, so they could get another two wins, at least, in the rest of the regular season, kind of putting them in a good spot for the playoffs. So, I mean, the Cardinals game could end up being very important for them, but I think it will be really difficult on the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be one of the biggest things there. And, I mean, that offense, even with injuries, I mean, James Conner is having a crazy good year when it comes to a rushing touchdown standpoint, and he's just been such a threat for them. And, I mean, they just have such an explosive offense. But we're going to have to see. And, I mean, it's just going to be interesting. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just going to be one of the biggest games. Christmas night. That's just, I don't ever think I've seen an NFL game on Christmas, at least in recent memory. I mean,
there's a couple on Christmas even.
Christmas, really? Lately?
Oh, well, I mean, like this year there's a couple.
Oh, yeah, there's two. The Browns and
the Packers.
The Packers play as well, so that's going to be a good game. I know you're going to be watching that as you're a Browns fan, but...
I mean, they got to go to Lambeau Field in the middle of December, so...
That might be a little bit difficult, but we will see. As we look in the playoff standing as of right now going into week 15, currently your number one seed, like we've been mentioning here, is the New England Patriots. 9-4, first in the AFC West. The number two is the Tennessee Titans, 9-4 as well, first in the AFC South. The Chiefs are the three at 9-4, and then the Ravens at the four at 8-5, first in the AFC North, but could really fall out just with one singular loss. The Chargers have the fifth seed as the wild card, and the Indianapolis Colts sixth, and the Buffalo Bills seven, all at 7-6. On the bubble, the Browns, Bengals, Broncos sit at 7-6. Really, the three teams that have a chance to possibly make the playoffs. And as we flip sides to the NFC, we have the Packers at the one with 10-3, the Buccaneers at the two at 10-3, and then Cardinals 10-3 as well at the three seed. So lots of teams fighting for the number one seed to get a bye. As remember, seven teams make the playoffs now, and only two. Only one team gets a bye, so that's something to watch out. And then the Cowboys at the four, and then the wild card spots go to the Rams, of course, at 9-4. And then it kind of falls off a cliff, you could say. 49ers at the six, and then seven, the football team. And then teams fighting for that is the Vikings, Eagles, Falcons, Saints, and Panthers and Seahawks all fighting for their playoff hopeful to possibly overtake the football team. But that's going to wrap up our NFL section here on the Sports Spotlight. We are going to take a break and come back with a special guest. The man of the hour, Zion Brown, will be joining us talking IU basketball. So we will be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Ya que las vacunas contra el COVID-19 estén disponibles, es posible que te preguntes, ¿debería vacunarme? ¿Me ayudará a volver a hacer lo que me encanta, como reunirme con mis amigos o viajar? ¿Y podré hacerlo sin poner en riesgo a mi familia? Tienes preguntas, y eso es normal. Así que visita detidepende.org para obtener la información más reciente sobre las vacunas contra el COVID-19. Para volver a los momentos que extrañamos, comienza por informarte. De ti depende. Un mensaje del Ad Council y los CDC.
And now back to the Sports Spotlight with your hosts, Jackson White and Kevin Gleva. Now, welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here. And like the intro said, I'm Jackson White here with Kevin Gleva. And now joining us, former WBDG program director, one of the best to ever call games here at WBDG. And he's now over there at IU in Bloomington. We now welcome in Zion Brown.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good, Zion. How you doing?
Doing great. Just finished up the finals, as I know you guys are as well.
Yeah, finals week is always not the best, to say the least. But we brought you in here to talk a little bit IU basketball, as you do know. A lot coming off your Twitter, as you like to break down almost every game. So I think that's really cool what you're doing over there on your Twitter. So everyone make sure to follow Zion on Twitter at Zion Brown. And he's kind of had his little bit weird spelling. It's Z10NBROWN. And that's actually not a no, it's a zero. So a little bit creative there. But if you follow him on Twitter, he breaks down a lot of IU games. Really play by play. It's really cool. But Zion, this IU team, currently sits right now at 8-2, and they've, in all reality, they could be 10-0. I mean, what have you seen from this IU team so far this season?
Yeah, you're definitely right about that, where this could be an undefeated team right now, and if they were undefeated, they'd probably be ranked. But I've seen mainly positives from IU this season, especially on the defensive end. I feel like this team has very little weaknesses defensively. I think they have two really nice rim protectors. They've got some guys that can play at the point of attack on the ball, and I think they just play well together on defense, and I think that's where their calling card is. The offense, it comes and goes, so that's kind of how the offense works. But definitely on defense, that's where this team is going to make its name if it has the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that everyone does know is they did hire Mike Woodson this past offseason. And I think I could really tell this IU team from this year is way different from the last year's team. I mean, just in the way they finish games. I know they did blow that 22-point lead a couple games ago to Wisconsin. But this team, I mean, they just seem like they're like together as a unit way more than last season. And I mean, how much have you seen from head coach Mike Woodson this year?
I think he's definitely brought a different energy. It feels like all the guys that were here last year, that were at IU last year, are more confident. And that's including a guy like Trace Jackson Davis, who was still an all Big Ten player last year. But this year, he's still playing with what I feel like is an even higher confidence in himself. So guys like him, Race Thompson, those guys are playing well. And then he's brought in transfers, which obviously is just the name of the game now, who have brought a new element to this team, especially when you talk about the shooters that are Miller Copper and Parker Stewart. They've kind of led the way as far as the perimeter shooting for the team. So, yeah, I think Mike Woodson so far done a good job just bringing that sort of energy, bringing that intensity to the program.
Yeah, so Zion, kind of looking at the IU's schedule, of course they just beat up on Merrimack, and then they have some more games kind of playing smaller schools, not as well-known for basketball programs. And then they kind of get into some Big Ten play, starting with Penn State, who hasn't really done much this season, but then getting more into the difficult games. Do you think they can make some noise in the Big Ten this year?
I think they can make some noise. I really want to see. I know Notre Dame hasn't had the best season, but that game on Saturday, I don't think that's one you can necessarily just skip by. This Notre Dame team just beat Kentucky. So I think Saturday's game will tell me a lot about this team, because I think the Syracuse game and the Wisconsin game were both just, like, odd. Like, they did tell me a little bit of something, but at the same time, I'm just like, is that really what this team is? They lost both of those games. Those were the two toughest games on their schedule. So when you put those two sentences together, you're like, well, that's not a good thing. But I definitely think they're better than they played at moments in both of those games. So I think on Saturday against Notre Dame, we'll really get to see where this team is. This is their third, or maybe their fourth big test. I think St. John's is a decent team, but this is their third or fourth big test of the year. It's going to be a crazy environment up there at Indy. So I want to see what happens there. And then I do think if that goes right, I'll kind of sway the way I think about this team going into the Big Ten. And then, like I said, Penn State, not a great program. I think IU should be able to beat them. And then you go to January 6th when they play Ohio State. That is going to be a huge game on both sides as a resume builder.
Yeah, as we look right now, IU is not ranked at an 8-2 record. Do you like honestly think this IU team is a top 25 team, like in the U.S.? Like, do you think they're a top 25 team in college basketball, or do you think they're just on the bubble? Like, where do you rank this IU team, fully healthy and playing good basketball at this current moment?
Yeah, I feel like it's impossible to rank a team into the top 25 that lost their two biggest games of the season, and they didn't come into the season top 25. So, unfortunately, they haven't gotten that chance to get into the top 20, or I won't say they haven't gotten the chance, but they haven't proven themselves worthy. So, if I had an AP vote, I wouldn't rank IU top 25. but I think they are probably somewhere between 30 and 40 right now. So that's a good place to be at. But they have work to do to be in the top 25. Even if they beat Notre Dame, I don't feel like the voters will put too much into that game. I don't think they think highly of Notre Dame. And as Kevin mentioned, then they still have a few other, you know, cupcakes, Northern Kentucky, UNC Asheville. And then that Penn State or that Ohio State game will end up being the big game that if IU can win that all the way up to that Ohio State game, then I will say, you know, this team should be ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, so looking at the roster itself, of course, Trace Jackson Davis, kind of the big name off the roster. He wins awards and gets put on teams like the All Big Ten team and things like that. But a lot of people say guards is what will win you basketball games in college and more so maybe tournament games, which is much later in the year. So do you think, could you see this team struggling with that once it gets later in the year in some close games?
Yeah, it has been a struggle. Especially when you look at that Wisconsin game, we saw Xavier Johnson that game. He shot 4 for 16 and just second half, he just stopped passing, which when you have a point guard like that, that's an issue. But I'm not ready to bury the guard play. It's still super early in the season. You know, I saw after the Wisconsin game, everybody was like, oh, yeah, Xavier Johnson, he's played like this all season. He's been bad all season. I'm just like, I don't think he has. Like Jackson mentioned, I go back and watch as many games as possible. And outside of that Wisconsin game, I'm just saying, I think his biggest issue has just been foul trouble, not being just some poor point guard. And it's not the best, is what I'll say, though, because even then, if he comes out of the game, the point guard situation, Rob Fennessy just hasn't been very good. Christian Lander, you never know when if he's having a good day or not, if he'll be able to show up and perform. So it is under average, I would say. They're below average at the point guard position, which is an issue. I don't see this team, and because of that, I don't see this team making some sort of deep tournament run, but I think the guard play is good enough to get into the tournament and probably winning a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you'd hope for, is this IU team really has, I mean, they've been in the NIT tournament a lot, basically the not in tournament, but they really have not made any noise in the actual March Madness tournament. And I mean, this year, they're led obviously by Trace Jackson Davis with 19 a game. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis is having really a good year, 8.4 rebounds, 3.4 blocks, only 2 turnovers, and I mean, he's shooting decent from the field with 61%. But one thing from this team is that I look at it, and in clutch games, they've struggled a little bit from the line. They're only shooting 68% from the free throw line. I mean, they're going to have to improve just a tad if they want to be considered one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, that's been an issue for a few years now. I don't really know what to say to that, because free throw shooting is a thing, like, it's not some magic thing. Like, how do you improve free throw shooting? Well, theoretically, you practice more free throws. But, I mean, if Mike Winston or Archie Miller just didn't practice free throws, that would be a whole other issue. Obviously, they practice shooting free throws, but in those big games, they've struggled to make them. So I don't know if there's some sort of mental aspect. There obviously has to be a mental aspect, but I don't know how to correct that mental aspect of the team. But that has been a big problem, especially because in those two games, and it helps for the other the opponents were both at home, being Wisconsin and Syracuse. But both Wisconsin and Syracuse shot well at the line in those games. So when you are at a deficit at the free throw line, you're not going to win many games, especially that Syracuse game when they were at a deficit both at the three-point line and at the free throw line. You won't find yourself winning many games in that capacity. So we'll see what it looks like on Saturday and going forward. Maybe it'll be a little better in the home, in the home games that are big opponents. But if they can't shoot free throws well or at it, adding rate, it will be a struggle.
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be a big thing. But this IU team, I mean, they're just into the season. They've only played 10 games. I mean, they have still a margin of their schedule yet. I mean, I would assume you've probably looked at their whole schedule. And I mean, how many wins do you see them getting this year? I mean, they have some tough games. They have lots of Big Ten games left. What do you think they're going to be around whenever the season comes to an end?
Well, when the regular season comes to a close, I think this is a team that could probably, at its max, could get about 23 wins, and at the minimum is around an 18-win team. So that should be interesting. Honestly, I think to see how many wins they end up getting. So they'll get a shot at Purdue twice, and we've seen now Purdue. You know, a week and a half ago, I'm like, oh man, Purdue might be unbeatable. Now it's like they are beatable. They're still definitely better than IU, but they are a beatable team. This team will get to play Wisconsin back here at Assembly Hall. I mean, based off the first game, that should be a win. They should have won at Wisconsin. So you look at it in that way, like coming back to IU, they should be able to get a victory. I think they're just a more talented team. And then look at the rest of the Big Ten, and it's not as dangerous as we thought it was. Illinois has lost a couple games, even though I do think they'll get back on track. Michigan, they lost to Minnesota. They just don't appear to be very good this season. It's kind of a different roster than what Juwan Howard had there in his first two seasons. And then, once again, I mentioned Ohio State that just beat that Wisconsin team this past weekend. IU will play them on January 6th. But those are going to be kind of those swing games that will be the difference between, like I said, like that 18 to 23 win range. Oh, I'd probably give them about 21 wins on the season. I think that's a reasonable mark. Played one game, so that would be 21-10 on the regular season. And then you go into the Big Ten tournament and see what you can do there.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big thing. And just this IU team, they look like they're improving, but only time will tell how good this team can be. And, I mean, we're going to have to see. But that's all we got for you, Zion. Once again, thanks for joining us here in the Sports Spotlight, and we'll hopefully see to talk to you soon again.
All right, thanks, guys. You have a great break.
All right, you too, Zion.
You too. Bye. And once again, thanks to Zion Brown for joining us here on the Sports Spotlight. It's always good to have kind of a alumni in Zion Brown. He's only been out of here for a year, but he's already an alumni. It's just kind of weird to say. But Zion Brown, one of the best to ever do it. Best ever call games here at WBDG. Your former voice of the Giants. And I'm your now current voice of the Giants. Ooh, big gains. But yeah, I mean, thanks again for Zion for joining us, talking IU basketball. And I mean, IU is a team 8-2. They look like they could get some wins. Like Zion said, he sees around 21 wins. I don't know. They could get hot in the right time. They have talent. They're just going to have to show it. But that's going to wrap up this segment. We're going to go to a quick break and come back talking Indiana Pacers. They lost to the Milwaukee Bucks last night without Giannis and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. So, I don't know. And then their owner came out, Herb Simon, came out and said, "Yeah, I like our team. I think we're contenders. Okay, buddy." We'll talk about that and more after this break. We'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
And now back to the Sports Spotlight with your hosts, Jackson White and Kevin Gleva. And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. As the intro just said there, I'm Jackson White with Kevin Gleva. And once again, we're going to thank Zion Brown for joining us in the previous segment, talking Indiana Hoosier basketball, but now going to the Pro League. Your Indiana Pacers played last night, and they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks 114-99. The Pacers had a fully healthy team besides T.J. Warren and obviously T.J. McConnell, and they just did not play as good as I thought they would. DeMontis Sabonis had 16-14. Caris LeVert had 16. Miles Turner 13-5-5. And then Malcolm Brogdon 12, and then Dorte had 10. And for Milwaukee, I mean, they were without most of their team. Giannis did not play at all. Chris Middleton did not play either. Drew Holiday did have 26, and Bobby Portis had 20. So whenever you have players like that beating you, it's kind of a little bit worrisome. But it came out yesterday in the morning that Herb Simon came out and said that he likes his little team. He says he likes his little team. He says they feel like they can sign free agents, besides like the best ones. It also came out that they made a run at LeBron James in 2014. LeBron James' agent said no to Indiana. It looks like Anthony Davis wanted to come to Indiana, and Herb Simon said no. We don't want Anthony Davis, not a top 10 player in the league. I don't know what's going on. He kind of said he likes his team. He says they have a chance to win a title with this current roster. He said Kevin Pritchard's done a great job. And here we are. The Pacers now sit at 12-18, 13 in the Eastern Conference. Probably, they have the fifth worst record in the NBA. And I know, Mr. Simon, you say that you like your little team and you have a chance to win a championship. You're 12-18 and the 13th best team in the Eastern Conference. Not even the league, Eastern Conference. You're six teams back from even being in the playoffs. What is your thoughts about his comments on that one, Kevin?
If it was the beginning of the season and then they hadn't played any games yet and we had this roster, and an owner said, okay, I like what we're looking at here. I think we have a chance this year. Okay, yeah, understandable. I'm sure every owner is at least have some hope in them that they can make a run. But being where we are in the year right now, and you're saying you think we can make a run at the trophy, I mean, I think first you would have to worry about even making the playoffs, which, I mean, so far has just been looking grim for the Pacers. And then you got to worry about winning a playoff series, which the Pacers have not done in a while, even if they have made the playoffs. So is he watching the same team as everyone?
I think he's watching the 2014 Pacers. There's something. He must be watching highlights or something. I don't know, but that's something, to say the least.
13th. And then, I mean, like you said, Indiana's not quite the place where you sign big stars in the free agent, so maybe we can pick up some pieces, but you kind of have to have a star or at least a couple to win a championship in today's NBA. So, I mean, I think, I don't know if he's just confident in the way they can build the team from free agents, assuming they just wait till the off season to make any moves. But I don't know. I think he needs to look back at the team and reevaluate what he's thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. As it has been reported, Domantas Sabonis wants out of Indiana. I don't know if this is entirely true, because Domantas Sabonis came out just a couple days ago and said he wanted to be here, but Paul George said that too. So I don't know, but I do think Sabonis likes it here. I don't know why he wouldn't. It's his team, but, I mean, you're going to have to pick Turner or Sabonis, and Turner's came out and says he wants to be here, and Sabonis hasn't, in a way. And he's not. Now it's coming out he doesn't want to be here. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting, to say the least. what's the realistic trade packages you think the Pacers could get for a guy like Domantas Sabonis?
I mean, it'd be interesting to see what teams are actually looking at Sabonis for a trade, because he just has a unique skill set. He's kind of a big who can dribble the ball some. He can score well in the post. He can make plays. He can knock down an open three-pointer. And I think to get rid of him, I mean, you'd have to be getting an all-star caliber player in return. I mean, Sabonis is an all-star. I don't think we'd be getting anyone like Anthony Davis like we almost did at one point, apparently, according to what has come out to the media. But, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, the Pacers, someone mentioned maybe getting Ben Simmons, and I think that'd be a mistake getting him. I don't think he is a guy that can fill a big role for a team and be a leader. He's just skill set is too limited. I mean, it's hard to say what you'd be able to get for Sabonis, but because teams may want him to try and help win a championship, or some teams may give up a lot just to try and rebuild around him. So, I mean, the Pacers got to be getting at least an all-star caliber player or a couple back for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe at last. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is a high-value player. He's a talented guy. He's a two-time all-star. He can give you 20 and 12 every night. So, I don't know. It's going to be it's going to be something to watch out for. Do I think he's going to be on the move? No. I don't think the Pacers make a trade in the regular season. I just don't see it happening. I do think that the possibility of him getting moved in the offseason is real high. But I don't know. I really like Domantas Sabonis. He's a talented guy, but he just has to be able to improve his three-point shot and his defense, and he could really be a top center. It's kind of what's holding him back is his defense in a way, and his really inability to knock down threes consistently. I mean, he shoots like 32% from three, and that isn't that bad. It's just you leave him open. He's always open when he shoots. There's no, like, people are not, like, guarding him at the three-point line. And, I mean, that's what you kind of want. I mean, if you're good shooters, they're going to guard you. So, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the thing there. But the Pacers now 12 and 18. Like I said, 13 in the Eastern Conference. So that's just going to be something. But you're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleva. And just talking Pacers real quick before we wrap it up. But there will be no corner flag today, as Christian Hernandez is currently busy doing finals, so we wish him the best and everyone doing finals here at Ben Davis and other schools. Good luck on your finals, if that's in high school, middle school, college. Middle school does finals. Maybe elementary school does, too. Hey. If you're doing finals, good luck.
Whoever needs the luck, we're sending it to you.
Yeah, you got it. But that's going to basically wrap up the show today. I don't really have too much more to talk about. Did I miss anything, Kevin?
I think we got it.
Yeah, so lots of good stuff going on. This is going to wrap up our first semester of the Sports Spotlight, so we're going to be saying goodbye for a little while. But we'll be back soon in January talking lots of stuff. I mean, there's going to be a lot to catch up on. So you'll get our first opinions on the Colts, Cardinals, Colts, Patriots, and more. The Pacers, who knows what they're going to be whenever that we go, we talk about them next. They could be a playoff team. Probably not, though. They could have made a trade. I don't know. We're going to have lots to talk about. So make sure to stay tuned for the Sports Spotlight. We are not done yet. We have another semester coming your way. I'm signing out for the final time in the first semester of this school year. And I wish everyone a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas. For everyone here at the Sports Spotlight crew, Owen Pooley, Christian Hernandez, and Kevin Gleva, I've been Jackson White. Thanks for joining us all first semester. And we'll see you again next semester. Hopefully everyone is having a good day. And then have a good rest of your day as we're signing out for the final time this semester. Goodbye for now, but not forever. Peace.